Welcome to another teaching from Spirit of God Ministries Worldwide. We pray that this blesses you greatly. Here is today's message in progress.
Praise the Lord. He is so worthy to be praised. I feel like there's a openness in the Spirit. I stumbled into this a couple days ago, and I don't know if I'm carrying it or if it's just everywhere I go. But there's this openness of deep abiding peace with the love and joy of the Father being poured out. And my heart's prayer right now is for everyone to find that center of deep rest, abiding rest. It's a hidden way. It's a hidden doorway, very narrow. You know, the Bible talks about a narrow way, and many don't find it. There's many doorways in the Spirit. There's many doorways in the Scriptures. And so don't get caught up on the door. You know, Jesus is the door, but there's many narrow doorways that take you into places of peace, adventures in the Spirit, and there's bounty to be had. There's treasures to be revealed, and I'm trying to beef it up a bit because the days are short. You know, that scripture, you know, there's going to come a time when no man's going to work, when night comes and no man can work. And so one of my jobs by the Holy Spirit, and only by the Holy Spirit, is to help people come into a place in God where when the winds blow and the storms come, they're protected. You know, Psalm 91 talks about the protection of the Lord and how to come into this place of rest, this place of covering. And it's not some story in a book. It's a real place in the Spirit that your body can come to. Now, your body, whether here or there, is not the point. I'm talking to your spirit man. And when I'm talking to your spirit man, your flesh man is going, what about the dishes? You know, how's the sound in here tonight? I'm cold. Or did I remember to turn the coffee pot off? Your flesh man is the distractor. And that's the way it's designed, because it's part of the fall. It's part of the curse. So don't beat yourself up if you're constantly distracted or, you know, here I am, Lord. You know, I can't tell you how many times I've been, Lord, here I am, I'm at the throne of your grace. I don't know what happened. How did I get off course? You know, when did I get off course? Forget all that. Here I am today, Lord. The great pause. And stay there, because there's so much communion when you show up. And don't beat yourself up for oh, you know, I'm a sluggard. I did this all day, or, you know, I should have prayed, but instead I was fasting, or I should have fasted. Who cares? Here I am right now, Lord. And there's a giant hug waiting for you from the Father. Now, that might sound strange. I don't talk about this much, but lately he's having me talk about this because he wants communion with his kids. Guess what? You're his kid. You are made in his image, O beautiful one. He created you for his good pleasure. So it doesn't matter what you did, because it's under the blood once you repent. It doesn't matter. And the enemy's the one, the accuser of the brethren. He's like, well, what about this? What about that swear word? What about you looked at this? And what about you didn't make your bed today? It doesn't matter what it is. There's always going to be the what about. But guess who overcame the what about? Jesus. And that's what we focus on. And so the enemy's trying to get us to focus on us. We know we stinketh. The Bible says that. We have to come up higher, guys. There's a connection in the Spirit. There's a clicking taking place. And it's so readily available for those who will seek him. The scripture talks about it. When you seek me, you will find me. When you seek me with all your heart. And there is so much depth and revelation and meat and food and substance for those who will sit and choose to take 5 minutes to glorify the King of Kings. See, it's when we put our gaze on him that everything changes. When we focus on his beauty, we forget about the fallen world and maybe the stain on our shirt or whatever. When we gaze on him, nothing else matters. And that's why we like to worship him. That's why we give him honor. And see, you know, services there, some are the same, some are not. And in here, it's never the same. But there's a theme, and it's glorifying the King of Kings, whether it be through song, dance, just an inward expression to him. We're not all going to worship the same because we're unique, because he gave us that ability to be unique and stand against the other person, or not in a bad way, but like, you know, like John, we know he's an evangelist. He can win a soul. He can smell a soul a mile away. Now, his heart is created with that gift, and so he can perceive when the fruit is ready to be picked. Me, I'll run. But if you're hurt, backslidden, or, you know, you need your leg grown out, I'm there. Now, I'm not saying John doesn't do that, but I've seen John operate in the gift of evangelism where that's a unique gift that God put in him. I don't have that gift. I mean, I can witness, but it's only by the grace and the Holy Ghost. And it's just not my gifting that I'm strong in. Doesn't mean I don't have it. I can grow that if I choose to. See, God gives us the desires of our heart. John has a desire to win souls. He does not want to see anybody lost or go to hell. My desire is I want to see everybody get what God sent his son to die for, so that when we stand before him, we go, wow, I went after them more, and I'm so thankful I did. You know, we're not meant to be mortals on this earth. We were meant and created for fellowship, oneness in God, like Garden State back in the day. And just because there was deception and a fall, Jesus redeemed us. So it's not like we can use that as an excuse. Well, we're living in a fallen world. I'm not. I live above. I'm ahead, not the tail. I'm seated in heavenly places. I bring heaven into the earth and watch the systems change. Why? Because that's what his word says to do. I'm learning the systems of heaven. I'm learning the systems that God threw out his whole word. I'm meditating into the deeper ways through rest on how to move and change things, which goes against my natural flesh. My natural flesh is I'm a doer and a fixer. So I had to discipline, and I still do, and I still am. I had to discipline my flesh not to run after that next task, which is a distraction in the spirit. And what I mean by that is, some of you know what I mean by that, but for some of you don't. You're like, what is she talking about? You're blessed. You don't have to worry about that one. that's not the mountain that you have to master. So what I mean by that is, I have the ability, God gave me the ability to know something and fix it. It's just the way I am. And I use the Holy Spirit for wisdom and revelation on how to do it. But if I use that gifting in the natural all the time, I can be busy every day of my life. So there's a ebb and flow. And what I mean by that is, some of you have the gifting to study, 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 study. And you'll study books, you'll study the word, you'll study classes, you'll do all kinds of studying. And you like that because that's your gifting. But what are you doing in the spirit realm? What are you feeding your spirit man? See, it's good to have knowledge, but it's better when they connect and it's one. I love when the Holy Ghost taught me how to put together a box that had a snowblower in it. I had no clue how to do it. And I was learning to rely and listen to what he was saying. And I'll tell you what, when that thing fired up for the very first time, I was shocked because I didn't know it would really work. I was building faith and doing what the unseen was telling me to do. And that's what we're created to do. We're created to, in the image, to do what the unseen is telling us to do. Jesus said, I only do what I see my Father in heaven doing. That's a a picture for us, every one of us. And so I'm seeing this great shaking taking place. Distractions, now we can minimize or we can justify the way things are, and you can coast for so long, but I'm going to tell you something. There is such a, just like there's such a harvest right now for souls, there's such a harvest right now for the deeper revelation of the Spirit and how to operate and manifest in the earth His will. And so I'm telling you, the distractions are screaming loud. Your phone is screaming loud. Your kids are screaming loud. Your projects are screaming loud. If you can learn to turn inward and just worship Jesus, worship Him. Well, how do you do that? Well, for me, I just start saying out, I love you, Lord. I love you so much. Thank you for everything. Lord, you are holy. There is none like you. The whole earth is filled with your glory. And then if you listen, see, that starts out in the flesh. But if you listen, you'll start to pick up the Holy Spirit. The voice of the Holy Spirit will give you a word. And you start to release that. Like, let's just say, well, I hear Him say, He's beautiful. And I'll say, you're beautiful. No one like you. In all the heaven, there's no one like you. And so you add what the Holy Spirit is saying. And what happens is you start to build. Well, it looks like a cake, but it's nothing like a cake. You start to build this most beautiful meal. And it like fills the atmosphere and overtakes. And here's what happens in the Spirit. The enemies can't stand it. The little imps are like, they can't stand when we worship. And so they either get tired and leave for a time, or you know, I've seen all kinds of things that they do, but they leave their post, so to speak. And then what happens is no resistance in the Spirit. And you think, oh, wow, I broke through. No, you just were worshiping and they got sick of listening. There's always breakthrough. The heavens are open, friends. Listen, they're open. It's us that we're trying to fine-tune what works and doesn't work. And right now, I'm just telling you what's working today. You know, it may not work tomorrow, but I know it's working right now. And see, I don't get caught up on what worked yesterday. And what I mean by that is, you know, sometimes we have these incredible times with the Lord, and our heart just yearns for more. And we think, oh, I want to do that again. I'm going to put that same song on. I'm going to sit in the same position. I'm going to dim the light the way it was. And, you know, there was a cool southeast breeze coming through. I'm going to put the fan on this time and try to get it to do the same thing. And then nothing. And see, what happens is it's really that God's not there. He's there, but you're operating out of the flesh. And there won't be a connection in the Spirit because your flesh is trying to reproduce what the Spirit already did. And it doesn't work that way. What happens is your Spirit brings it in, not your flesh. So really you're yielding your flesh. But you think, well, the great me did that. No, we didn't. We just got out of the way. And then we were able to see the beauty of the King or hear the wondrous sounds in heaven or whatever. And so, like I say, never go after the experience. Go after Him. The experience comes because He is everything. See, if we focus on how wonderful He is and everything He did, and if we can find ourselves in a place of not striving to enter, you know, we labor to enter His rest, but there's a difference between laboring to enter His rest and striving to have everything He has. Striving is a work of the flesh. I don't care how it looks. It's always a work of the flesh. But there's a laboring in the Spirit, whether it's through prayer, whether it's through fasting, whether it's through studying the Word or meditating. There's a laboring that takes place, which is, I got to have you, Lord. I you know, there's a deep, deep groaning in your spirit, which is led by the Holy Ghost, wanting and yearning for the connection. And so the flesh struggles with this because it's got this thing called a mind where it thinks, oh, I could do that. And it mimics and copies. And we get a lot of people end up getting messed up. I'll just be honest. You know, because then what happens is the issues of the heart come out. The pride. Look at me. I just, we see it every day. Look at me, I raised the dead. Well, doo-dah, you know, hallelujah. Did you do that? Or did you learn the system from heaven and God allowed that to happen? You know, he watches over his word to perfect it or to perform it. And so are you speaking life? And so meanwhile, I'm going back to the distractions because it seems like this is the season to master the distractions. I have so many distractions screaming at me every day. And I am choosing to ignore most of them. And I'm asking the Holy Ghost to help me recognize distractions. You know, if you're a doer like I'm a doer, you know, my grass is tall. It needs to get cut. It's a distraction right now. But wait a second. It's tall. It needs to get cut. Yeah, but it's a distraction right now because God's doing something. And I don't want to miss what he's doing. And the grass can get cut tomorrow or the next day or the next day. And I know one thing. Well, I know a lot of things. But one thing I know about putting off a task or a job of the flesh. See, I love to mow the grass because I have a great time with Jesus talking. And I can justify and say, yeah, but I'm going to mow the grass so I can talk to Jesus. But I can tell that he doesn't even want me on a mower right now. He wants me tucked away in the secret place all alone without the hum of a motor, without anything, because we're communing. There's this deep communing that's happening, and I'm praying it happens to everybody in this room, where there's such a desire and hunger to God. I gotta have him. I gotta know him. I am not stopping. I'll climb any wall. I'll kill any idol. I'll do whatever it takes. Lord, I'm not settling. I need you, and I need you more now than ever. Now I have him, but what that means is I'm ripping the flesh off, and I'm going straight in, and I'm not stopping until, you know, I love that. I'm not going to let you go till you bless me. I know there's something that's been released for this hour for the body of Christ, and every distraction is screaming at me to focus on the distraction. And I'm like, I've been fooled how many times? Enough. Here I am, Lord. I'm done with this. I'm not going to leave until you bless me with this. Because it's not for me. It's for every one of us. And I feel like I'm climbing up a mountain and I'm going in some narrow places in the mountain, and I'm going to bring back a treasure into the earth for this hour. And if I don't do it, who will? Now, am I special great? No, I just know it's my assignment right now. And so meanwhile, your grass is tall, partners have needs, you know, there needs to be food in the refrigerator, you know, the daily task, taking care of people, returning calls. I'll do it all, but it's not my first now. My first is, Lord, I'm going to stay in this place until you tell me to leave. And then when I leave this place, you're coming with me and we're doing this together. Does that make sense to you so far? Do you understand where I'm coming from? Does anybody have any questions yet? Okay, so I know I'm not the only one. This is for every one of us. And I know the Holy Ghost is speaking right now, and you could probably make a list out of your distractions. Or responsibilities. Let's call them responsibilities. How many of us have responsibilities of things that have to get done? The bills need to get paid. There's things that have consequences if we don't do them. I'm going to tell you something. You can focus on that stuff and it'll stop you and block you. I'm telling you the truth. If you can find this place in the spirit, this deep place of rest, you will be amazed at how the ease and the flow of the release of the stuff in the natural just happens. And hey, maybe somebody's going to cut my grass for me. Hey, maybe, you know, and I'm not doing it like, I don't care about that. But God is watching how serious we are right now in this season. He's listened to our prayers. He's heard us in the secret place, crying our eyes out to him or telling him our issues or telling him how much we love him. He's listening and he's about to do something. And he is moving. And there is movement taking place in the spirit. And we are going to see a great shift coming. A great shift. And it's going to be shock and awe. It's going to be the most devastating and the most brilliant at the same time. Now that's confusing if you don't know him. So my heart is for every one of us to know him in a place where if a bomb goes off in front of me, I know God's got my back. I know it's going to be okay. If I die, I die. I don't care. I know him and I know where I'm going. What about your kids? I love my kids, but I know what my assignments are. I don't have their, my assignments are not to shelter my kids and make sure that they put their shoes on. They're 26 right now. Make sure they put their shoes on and pay their bills. I've done my job. I've raised them. I love them. I speak to them. We hang out together, but I don't hover them. I'm not the hovering mother because I released my kids. I gave them to the Lord years ago when they were young. And I did the sacrifice. I said, you know what? I've done the best I can. They're a mess. I'm a mess. Lord, I'm giving you my kids. You know what's best. I laid them on the altar, and I am not going to take them off that altar. God, you do with them as you will. And then the day came when trouble came. I said, listen, these are your kids. What are you going to do about this problem? What do you want me to say? How do you want me to pray? That's all I'm supposed to do. The rest gets done. There's free will involved. I'm not going to override my children's free will, and I'm not going to override what God's doing by thinking I know something. Sometimes people have to go through stuff. Now, I don't wish that on anybody, but it's part of people, when they make decisions, let's say you take drugs. There are consequences when you do that. You open doors that need to be closed. I can't close a door on somebody who's doing drugs. Free will is there. But I can pray, Lord, your will be done on earth as in his heaven. Lord, you have a destiny and a purpose for this child or this person or this neighbor. Your will be done, and your will is to set them free. Lord, how do you want me to pray? What do you want me to declare? And you do the assignment and you move on. You don't own it and you don't wear it. Oftentimes I see people wearing their kids on their back. That's a heavy burden. We weren't designed to do that. I'm trying to get the Romans. I am. I didn't know I was going to talk on this, or I probably would have brought my notebook. He gave me some wonderful notes this last week. I was crying out, you know, if we get honest with ourselves, how many in here you know you're doing what the Lord wants you to do. You know you're in his place. When you hear so clear, no distraction and no turbulence is going to rock you at all in any way. How many in here? Okay. That's awesome. That's great. Wonderful. So you guys can all take a nap. No, I'm kidding. I'm messing with you. I want to encourage you for people that are struggling. You know, in my life, I've got it really good because I know him. I didn't have it really good because I built my life, because I did that, and it wasn't very good. I had a very lonely life. I have no loneliness now because I have the Holy Spirit. I've got the best father ever in heaven. I've got the best brother in heaven. I've got family here. I mean, my life is good. Anything I need, God takes care of. I trust him with my life. But I remember the day when I didn't think that way. I remember the day when I wasn't so sure God was good. And so, you know, I was in Romans the other day, and of course I was in a different Bible. This is not the Bible that I was in, so it might not even read the same translation. But I was struggling one day. I'm like, I'm a little off. You ever get a little off? You just, something not right. You don't know what it is. You get a little yucked up. Was it, you know, did somebody word curse you, or did you, you know, study when you should have fasted? I don't know. Sometimes we are like, something not right. You know, and you pray in the Spirit, and you, Lord, what's going on? Or you ever do something repetitively and wonder why? And it's like, why? I wish I could get free of this. You know, I've been praying to get free of this, but yet here I am. I'm still doing blah, 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 whether it's, I'm not even going to tell you. You know, don't you? So he said to me, he goes, read Romans. I'm like, okay. And I'm reading Romans 1, Romans 2. I get to Romans 3. I get to Romans. I'm thinking, you know, and I'm thinking of stuff to do in my head. You know how I'm just not there. But I knew I was off. I knew I was off. Now, was I sinning? No. But I just wasn't sharp. And I don't like not being sharp. And so I get to Romans 5, and all of a sudden, da-na-na-na-na-na, you know, it's like the page is coming alive, and I'm like, oh my gosh, this is the best thing ever. And he's like, go get your notebook. I get my notebook and I'm taking these notes and I'm asking him these complex questions, which I don't even ask. I'm not a big question asker, but I was like, how does this work? You know, and then he's like, go back to Romans 2. And he had me in Romans 2. And he was more excited than I was. And that was, and then he got me excited because he was so excited. It was like the greatest breakthrough I've had that day. You know, I love breakthrough. I expect them every day, you know, but this one was, I was started to pray then for people. Cause I'm sensing that this is an issue that people are struggling with. And there's two things that are going against me right now. One, I don't have a pair of glasses. So I'm flipping these pages thinking that I can read this and I truly can't. And I'm thinking, do I have glasses in my purse? I don't. Yes, please. And then I'm like, will somebody offer me a pair of glasses? And ding, ding, ding. Thank you. Thank you so much. Amen. Wow, she's stronger than I am on these. I'll just put them a little lower and then they work. Okay, so I don't know if you have your Bibles with you, but I want to read something that just really was a blessing. So I think it started really in 4. He was talking to me about hope. You know, because he's given us promises. And as you grow older in the Lord, you believe his promises. But sometimes we settle, well, I guess, you know, it's not coming or whatever. Or I blew it or maybe I didn't hear that. But he started talking to me about Abraham. You know, Father Abraham, so there's a couple things we have to know, that the promises are for all of us. You know, we're grafted in and we know that. And then God tells him, you know, the guy's old, very old. And he says, you know, you're going to be the father of many nations. And Abraham didn't go, yeah, right. You know, has God told you something? And you go, yeah, right. How's that going to work? You know, have you ever had that happen to you? Are you close enough where you can be real with him and say, you're kidding me, right? And what Abraham did was he believed. And this is what I love. In hope against hope, he believed. So in hope against hope, that's what I want to talk about right there. In hope against hope. In hope against hope. In hope, spirit hope. Against hope, flesh hope. So that's where we're at. In hope against hope. There's a battle constantly taking place. You know, the promises are ours. There's spiritual promises that we manifest into the earth against hope, against what we know and against what we see. What we know and what we see is really not true because it's from the flesh. There's a higher hope in the spirit. And the hope in the spirit brings faith. Without becoming weak in faith, he contemplated his own body, now as good as dead since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. Yet, with respect to the promise of God, he did not waver in unbelief, but grew strong in faith, giving glory to God. So, at that moment, he had a choice, in hope against hope. In hope, he chose to believe against hope, against what it looked like in the natural. He knew God because he walked and talked with him. He knew God. He, you know, they had a relationship, okay? So there's respect there that God doesn't lie. He knew that about him. Which, because of that, there was no room to waver because the wavering comes in the flesh. Against hope, you know, that type, against hope. Hope. Faith, you know, hope, spiritual hope, against hope, flesh hope. The wavering comes in, that's a flesh. That's the work of the flesh. What happened was he grew strong in faith, giving glory to God. Now listen, giving glory to God. He was worshiping Jesus, the Father, God, against the flesh, against the way things looked. He was connected in spirit. When you're connected in spirit, there's nothing. When you make a connection in the spirit, there's times when I am so connected and you could tell me that my leg is falling off and I wouldn't believe you. You can tell me that there's, you know, the house is on fire and I'd be like, no, it's not. Because my faith is so strong in the spirit that even if it was in the natural, it would extinguish. Because God's kingdom always supersizes or overrules the work of the flesh and the work of darkness. And we have to come into a place where we understand the hope that we walk in. And that's why it's important to be in a place of rest. This is where we develop this spiritual muscle. And so at that moment, that hope, that spiritual hope, he was already fully assured of what God had promised. He stayed fully assured. How many of you have been told to start a business? How many of you have been told you're, you know, called to do something for God, but it's not happening? I'm going to challenge you to get back into the place of peace and the place of rest, because I'm going to tell you, you're operating out of the flesh if you're believing the lies from the enemy. Now, how do we combat the eyes of the enemy? You know, the helmet of, you know, we have to guard our mind against the darts. That's their job. The enemy's job is to throw darts. You'll never do this. You're always going to have that, blah, 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 whatever it is. He's the one that is always throwing the darts. But there's this thing called a shield of faith. And when you start speaking by the Spirit, God's word, because it's true, nothing can stand against that. Nothing can. If you have no idolatry in your heart, let's talk about that. If there is no other God but God, I'm telling you, there's not a lot of room for the enemy to get a hold of you. A holy vessel consecrated to the King for his good pleasure. A little cup on the shelf. God's going to use you today. You're going to, you know, have fun, drink with him, whatever, however it works. I don't know. I don't care. Whatever it is, the assignment that he uses you for, and then he puts you back. And that's why we don't take any credit, because he's the one using us. But see, if there's idolatry, that's what brings the curse. And I'm challenging us to look at our idols. Mine was work. You know, and I justified. Well, it's work. It's good. Good for the soul. Blah, blah, blah. You know, and I've been healed in this in so many different layers and levels, but yet here I am again, a deeper purification. There's deeper fire, deeper dross. And you, most of you have known my story. You know, do you remember when a tree fell down and the Lord was, you know, you have to stay in this rest place? And I watched that tree for days because I wanted to go cut it up. And, you know, he was like strengthening my spiritual muscles. You know, since then, trees fall down a lot. You know, and hallelujah, I hire people now to do it. And not because I'm rich, I am rich. I own all the hills, all the cattle, because he's my dad and he gives me the resources. But I like to do things. I like the challenges of taking things apart and putting things together. He's created me that way. But if it becomes a distraction, it's no longer right order and it's idolatry. And there's a fine line in the spirit. And I'm honing in and I'm going after the gold. I'm going to be purified and tried in that fire until I come out and I'm delivered of any misconception of what needs to be done or doesn't need to be done. And how did this all start? I'll be honest with you. My tooth. I'm going to the root of the matter on this thing. Some of you know I've had four root canals or three. I don't even keep track. I've got a bad tooth. And this bad tooth is causing me to say, Lord, what's going on in the spirit? What's going on? And pull, you know, to the point where I couldn't even work if I wanted to because the pressure and pain was too great after 2-3 procedures. So I'm like, you know, usually, you go after the common stuff. Is there, you know, am I judging some? But, you know, is there a door open? You know, some doors we don't know are there because they're part of us. And so they might just be a little unhinged. They might just be a little off. You know, so he created me with the ability to do things. And I can justify and stay busy all day long doing these things, or I can go after this thing that he's asked me to do. And I'm going after this thing that he's asked me to do because actually He's my all in all, and nothing else really matters. Grass will grow or not grow. I don't care. And so is there an issue? Why do I have to cut the grass? Do I have an image with my neighbors? What do they think? No, I don't have that, but I'm just, you know, I'm throwing things out there. You know, you go after, why does this matter so much to you? I know there's some people in here who have great giftings. You know, I don't want to call you out because they are from the Lord, but there's wrong order in them. They're a little higher than God himself. And you're not in trouble. And what I mean by that is, you know, he's given us two hands to work. He's given us the ability to create things and you know, musically and art and computer-wise and, you know, gardening and all that and mother and father and all that and mentor. Those are all good things. But if it becomes, there's this weight. I see this in the spirit. There's a scale, and if it's off a little, it's wrong order. And it's a fine line. And I'm not trying to, you know, throw condemnation out at all. I'm just challenging us to go after the greater thing. Because, you know, you can dabble all you want, and, well, I like to paint. I like to party. I like to, you know, whatever. I like to do stuff, too. I like to watch a good old movie. But if it ends up being, if God said, come away for a minute, but I'm busy watching a movie. Oh, catch you later. Have you ever done that? Yeah, come on, let's be real. Has he ever said, you know, call your mother, you know, or, you know, call your neighbor, and you're like, I don't feel like it, you know? Are you being real? Have you ever disobeyed? And because we didn't get struck by lightning, well, then we justify. I'm telling you, we're in this season of purification, and it's a good thing. It's not, well, I won't have my free life anymore. You'll always have it, but it'll be a greater, cleaner, abundant life. There's like this dam I'm seeing that people are, you know, it's like the blessings are blocked because you're choosing this other way. And God's not mad at you. The system's there. Either work it or don't. The choice is yours. And for me, I'm going after everything he has. I've been praying. I love that song. No, have baby skin again. It's he went home to the Lord. He got taken out way too young. Keith Green. I wanted to say Mark Green. Keith Green. He did the song, "Created Me a Clean Heart." I don't think that's it. No, that's. It's, well, anyway, if you catch the beginning of the video, you know, we always play the song, but in the, there's a beginning where he says, you know, this song came out of, I've been saved, I'm going to just paraphrase, all this time, but my love grew a little cold. You know, I want to have baby skin again. You know, I want to be in love like I used to be when I first met you. And, you know, that's my desire. You know, sometimes we just, okay, here we are, God's, you know, in my passenger seat, or I'm in the passenger, I don't even know how that stuff works, but, you know, driving, he's my co-pilot. You know what? He's my all in all. And I want to always have him as my all in all. And there's this thing that's opening for us to receive his all in all. But if we're caught up in the distractions of our phone, did you hear me? Phone. I'm telling you, the phone is a good thing, but it's also a curse. And you know, I talked about this earlier on a Zoom call. I don't share this often, but I see this phone in a lot of people, and it's like tight, like a chain wrapped around them. And people don't realize that it's holding them bondage. They think it's bringing them great freedom and victory, and it's not. It's trickery. So I'm just throwing that one out there. But anyway, back to Romans. So, Shirley, thank you for your glasses. So it talks in here, I can't find it right now, but it talks about perseverance, trials and perseverance, and I got to find that because it's really good. Anybody been through some perseverance, or I mean some trials? Baby skin. Is it 3 through 5? Thank you. Is it back in 5? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Thank you. So listen to this. The Brits are here. I love them. So, so we've been justified by faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So we've been justified by faith. You know, that it's a free gift. We have peace with God through Jesus Christ. You can meditate on that for a while. Through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we exalt in hope of the glory of God. And not only this, but we also exalt in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance. And perseverance, proven character. And proven character, hope. And hope does not disappoint. Because the love of God has been poured out without within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. You know, hope does not disappoint. Hope does not disappoint. That is spiritual hope. That is looking at God's promises and standing and choosing to go hope against hope. The spiritual hope will never disappoint. The flesh wants to dwell on the emotional, it's still really bad, I don't think I'm going to make it. That's the flesh. Our job is to say, wait a minute, God's promise, you're going to pull your flesh, you're going to put the brakes on your flesh, put the car in park, and switch over to your spirit man and say, hope against hope. You hope, you lower hope, you've got no hold on me. You're going to worship. Perseverance is key. Now, perseverance is like the roadmap. It's like the highway. Perseverance, a lot happens on the highway from point A to point D, B. You know, the perseverance brings character. Character, what really that means is the pressing of your flesh causes the stuff to manifest, and you go, yeah, that's ugly. And then you go, Lord, you got to help me. You got to deliver me. You work on it. You get tried through the fire, which brings perseverance. And then perseverance brings character. Character, what that character is the God character in you, which was always in you, but you're learning to crucify your flesh and not respond to, oh, it's always bad. It's still the same way. It's never going to change. And so there's this dual battle. You know, it's called the battle of the flesh. You know, I do the things I don't want to do, the things I do, oh, what, you know, that's what that's about. There's two realms, and we need to recognize which realm are you living in. Now, we go back and forth all day long, back and forth all day long, because we do have a physical body. But just like a wrestling match, like, arm wrestling, there's going to be a winner, and it's going to be your spirit man. You know why? Because life and death is in the power of the tongue. Choose life and speak it. Otherwise, by default, you will go backwards. Does that make sense? Does that bless you? Any questions? Did I clear it up? Hope does not disappoint. Because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. There's nothing better than hope that does not disappoint. The flesh gets caught up on hope. Oh, I hope this happens. That's the wrong hope. We have to train our spiritual muscles to align with hope against hope. Amen? Hallelujah. Father, I pray right now for everybody in here and anybody listening online. I pray for your love to come upon us in such a way where we are undone for this natural realm of corruption and distractions. Lord, I pray that your Holy Ghost fire burns in us and causes us to want to. It causes us to recognize the schemes of our flesh and our enemy and the way we've been trained and thought to say, no way, I'm going for the highway, the highway, the highway, God's way. Lord, I pray right now, everyone in this room, receive a deeper revelation of what you're trying to get us to get so that we can stand strong against any scheme, against any force of darkness, and rest in your peace and live from the place of peace which you created for us relating to the Sabbath rest, relating to Selah, to the rest, the deeper rested state which is available for all of us. Lord, I pray right now you tip us in and let us taste and see how good you are. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
We hope you enjoyed today's message by Laurie Scanlon. You can download more messages from our store at www.spiritofgodworldwide.com.